A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. Lord, we thank you for new beginnings. We thank you for the tender shoots that you continue to bring forth after we think something is finished with. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy on our life. And now, Lord, as we minister your word today, we ask for a release of anointing, your Holy Spirit power. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. This scripture is about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus coming forth from the lineage of King David and Jesse, his father. And the people of Israel had so many troubles, so many problems. At times, they were just finished. Do you know that the Jewish people have faced genocide an astounding 52 different times in history? And they've had more troubles on the earth than any people in the world. But from this group of people, the Bible says, a shoot, a little sprout, a new growth, a new twig came forth. A shoot will come forth from the stump, from the dead tree, from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. That's why he's called the root of David, because he comes from the roots. While we were in Israel this time, I saw something that I enjoy seeing every time I go, and that's these huge olive trees. We saw one in the pictures earlier while we were looking at the photos from Israel. But some of these olive trees in Israel approach 2,000 years old. And there are olive trees in other places around the world that are older than 2,000 years old. It seems that you can't kill an olive tree. You can burn it. You can cut it down. It can rot. The whole olive tree can come to a place of destruction. And yet from its roots, suddenly, it seems a tiny little sprout will come. A new growth will come. And when the scripture talks about grafting in a branch from the olive tree, whether it's the wild olive tree or the natural olive tree, it's talking about getting these little shoots that come up from the roots and nipping them. They're tender and they're green. There they are, and you might see just a few little on this side here, just little twigs coming up, but they're way down at the bottom. Those branches that are sticking out are coming right from the roots, because this here olive tree, which is about 1,500 years old, this one, it's all basically dead. It's just like an empty shell now that's hollowed out, but from its roots comes new growth, and it continues so that this tree can go on for another 1,000 years. I want to speak to you about this principle of new beginnings. Even at the end of the book of Revelation, when this whole world has been destroyed, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the old things were passed away." Aren't you glad that God is continually bringing new beginnings into our lives? My, we sure need them. I know that God knows that the human race needs a lot of help, that we mess up. And whether it's an individual or a family, whether it's a community or a nation, we mess up. But the Lord Jesus is the God of restoration. Just like our testimony today of Nancy and her estranged brother, after 64 years, a new beginning has come. Hallelujah. And I wonder if you're about ready for a new beginning in God. In this scripture, we read about Jesus coming forth as a tender shoot. He's the hope of a lost humanity. He's the root of David. He's a tender shoot. We can read about him even more in Isaiah chapter 53. It says there in verse 1, Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. Just say tender shoot. And like a root out of dry ground. And it talks about Jesus here, the suffering Messiah. It says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, verse 4 says, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Then we read, we can't read through the whole chapter for time's sake, but it says in verse 12, therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. So Jesus comes up. Who has believed our report? That's how it starts. He comes up as a tender little shoot. I want you to think of your children. Some of them really need a new beginning. Some of them need a new start. But just when you think it's all finished and it seems to be a hopeless situation, somebody will be praying for you. I'm blessed to hear of Dorothy Freeman and how she prayed for Nancy's brothers. It's amazing that when somebody has lost the strength or the focus to pray for themselves, God will assign somebody else. If you love the Lord, if you walk with the Lord, he has not just angels around you, he's got intercessors around you. Like the four men who carried the paralytic up on the roof. We went to that house, to the foundation stones of it, and lowered him down in Capernaum. He needed those four men, those intercessors, in order for him to have a new beginning. Here at Antioch International Church, we want to be a people who care for one another, bear one another's burdens on every plane, on every level, so that we see new beginnings emerging under the anointing and power of God. So first and foremost, this scripture is about Jesus. But that's not the only picture of new beginnings in the Bible. In fact, an interesting one that I just learned about on this trip was some more details on the subject of Nazareth. You know Nazareth, the childhood village of Jesus? We went there, and a specialized tour guide took us through a remake of a Nazareth village farm where Jesus grew up. It's called the Jesus Village. And of course, they're specialists on research and details. And he said, the name Nazareth means a tender shoot. It means a new branch. And it's amazing when you hear the story, because long before the time of Christ, way back in the time of Moses, there was a settlement there, a Canaanite settlement on that property. But 700 years before Christ came, that whole village was destroyed by the Assyrian army, who are present-day Iraqians from Iraq. And they destroyed, and nobody lived in that place. And then 500 years before Christ, the Babylonians ruled over the land. Nobody lived in that place. And then the Greeks, followed by Alexander the Great and then his generals, ruled over the land of Israel. Nobody lived in that place. But some Jewish priests, a Jewish priestly family named the Maccabees, led a revolt against the Greeks and drove them out of the land. And this happened about 160 years before Christ came. And about 150 years before Christ came, some people started to resettle the old towns and villages. So there was a group of people who left Bethlehem 150 years before Christ. They were Jewish people from the tribe of Judah, descendants of David. And they traveled north about 60 miles to the Sea of Galilee. And there in the Galilee region, they came to this deserted, broken down, old, uninhabited settlement. And they started to rebuild the ancient ruins. And they called the place Nazareth, a new beginning or new shoots. And so now you see from Bethlehem, from the root of David, comes a shoot. And it's Nazareth. And it's from that place that a son of Jesse, the branch, the new shoot, comes forth and goes back to Bethlehem to register for taxation in the place of his fathers, where Jesus is born. His parents bring, you know, Mary and Joseph come, and Jesus is born there, where all the lambs are born for sacrifice. Taken up onto the Temple Mount through the sheep gate, all of them are raised in Bethlehem. And he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So we have Jesus, who is the ultimate picture of a new beginning. He's tender. He grows up tender. I'm aware that when revival comes, it's going to come in a very tender but powerful way. There is a new kind of tenderness that will come over the people. It will be a tenderness of compassion, a tenderness of mercy, a tenderness for giving, a tenderness for loving, a tenderness for caring, a tenderness for humility, a tenderness for unity, a tenderness for the purposes of God. And out of that tender little shoot that might seem insignificant, it might seem just like the small beginnings, but out of that will come a powerful revival that will sweep the nations of the world like a tsunami. It's coming. It's on its way. And I think of other scriptures in the book of Isaiah about new beginnings. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 60. And we read there about Israel. And it says in verse 20 of Isaiah 60, "Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then will all your people be righteous. They will possess the land forever. They are the shoot." Say the shoot. "They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly." Hallelujah. Here's a picture of the Jewish people at the end of the age. It says, the Lord is going to plant a tender new shoot. And they're going to come into the purposes of God and into the millennium, where the Lord will be the light of every man and woman who is there. And then he makes this promise to the Jewish people. He says, the least of you will be like a thousand. The smallest among you, that must be me. The smallest of a mighty nation. He says, for I am the Lord, and in its time I will do this quickly. It's coming. From new beginnings comes great and mighty things. You might think, because you're up in years, that you can't have any new beginnings. I don't think it's right for you to say, I'm going to step aside and let the young people have their day. Hallelujah. Of course the young people can have their day, but don't you cop out. For this is your day. You're not as old as an olive tree. I'm glad to say that none of you look as old as some of the olive trees that I have seen. You're not as slow as an olive tree. But what will happen? You know, though the body might fail, the prayers. You know, most heroes in the Bible are senior citizens. Most of the heroes. Moses was a senior. Caleb was a senior. Miriam was a senior. Moses was a senior. Abraham was a senior. Noah was the ultimate senior. Enoch was the senior winner of the year. All of them, it seems, were mighty in God when they were mature. Don't let that which God has put inside of you over all these years just fall to the ground. But let the Holy Spirit come on you in these days. And let a tender new beginning come. Yeah, you know, it's not time for you to be a foot soldier. Let the young people do that. But it's time for you to be a general. It's time for you to be a leader amongst God's people, to lead the way, because you have a strength, maybe not in muscle, but you have a strength of spirit that God has put there. And with the tenderness that God has fashioned in you through all the bumps and bruises of your life, with that tenderness and the anointing of the Lord, you can do great things for His kingdom's sake. You're a bunch of shoots. New shoots, ready to go forth in the purposes of God. So we see here, Jesus is a picture of the shoot. Nazareth is a picture of new beginnings. The Jewish people are a picture of new beginnings. After all of the Holocaust and the 52 different times when genocide threatened their existence, when they were the most persecuted and rejected people in the whole world. And do you know that even the Valley of Armageddon battle, when the Battle of Armageddon, the nations of the world come against Israel, it will be at least number 53 where genocide was attempted against the Jewish people. And it will happen at the end of the age when the Lord Jesus is about to return. All the nations will come. But the word of the Lord is unstoppable. You can cut the tree down, but I want you to know the resurrection power of God is absolutely unstoppable. And His word and His purpose and His glory will come forth in His church, in Israel, and on this earth, and in your life, and in the life of your children. Come with me now to the book of Romans. There we read in Romans chapter 11 about the Gentiles coming into the purposes of God. Because once upon a time in the world, it was just this tiny little nation of Israel who served God. And every other nation in the world was pagan, idolatrous, and full of witchcraft. But now, things have changed because this little sprout, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a tender little branch, Jesus, Messiah, came forth. Now we sung that song that they're worshiping Him in the African plains. The people of Asia are singing worship unto Him. All around the world, fires of love and glory unto God are springing up. When you come with us to Haiti on this missions trip, you're going to see a nation that is emerging in revival. Amen. Because just 30 years ago, about 75% of the people of Haiti had some involvement with voodoo. Now, it's 5% of the people of the nation. And 51% of the people in the nation are born-again Christians. And it's all taken place in the last 20 years. Now, there's two kinds of revival. There's a revival that goes deep and that goes into a place of maturity. I don't say that has yet come to Haiti. So there's still a lot of mess. You know, God doesn't clean his fish before he catches them. He catches them, and then the process of sanctification is a lifetime endeavor. But the revival that's taking place in Haiti, I wouldn't say is deep, but it's very broad. And more people are coming to the Lord. And it's a marvelous thing to see. What they need is the tenderness of the shoot to come forth now. The tender work of the Holy Spirit. But when you come, you just might be in the middle of an explosive revival that will take place in Haiti. After all, why else would you go? So here we see in Romans chapter 11, in verse 13, I am talking to you Gentiles. Now, if you're not Jewish, say, that's me. We have that many Jews in here? Some of you don't know, because the whole world's mixed salad. You know that. It's tossed salad. I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in hope that I may somehow arouse my own people, Paul says, the Jewish people, to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the cutting off of the Jewish people, we're going to read more here, but if the cutting off of the Jewish people meant that the world could come to Christ, what's it going to be like when the Jewish people come to Christ? When they come back, the Bible says it'll be like resurrection from the dead. Talk about the ultimate new beginnings. Then in verse 16 it says, if the part of the dough, that's for making bread, not money, if the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, that's the Jewish people and the patriarchs, then the whole batch of God's family will be holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches, the Jewish branches, have been broken off, and you Gentiles, though a wild olive shoot, you see where you've come from? Here's the olive tree. It may be as big around as this drum encasement here. And then up from the root comes these little shoots. That's you. Little shoot. Little green shoot. And it says, you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now you share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. Do not boast over the Jewish branches, over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. I hope you get the picture here. God insists that you do not sidestep his people. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, that's true. Verse 20, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he won't spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they, that is the Jewish people, if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able, say God is able, to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, you wild bunch, And contrary to nature, you were grafted into a cultivated Jewish olive tree. How much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? He says, just think about it. If you were taken out of the wilds, out of the woods, out of the backside of the desert, out of the nations of the world, and God rescued you, the nation that you are part of was all corrupt and all rotted from the core. But some little sprouts just came up. And God found you there. And he just cut you and he grafted you in to his family. And he says, if I did that with you and you were that wild, how much more logical, easier will it be for the Lord to take his own people and bring them back to their own root and graft them in again? So this is about two kinds of sprouts. Sprouts from the natural tree, the Jews, and new beginning sprouts from the nations of the world. That's you. And God bringing them together for new beginnings. Now, the end of all things is fastly approaching. And we, some of us, perhaps some of our children, will see the day of the Lord's return. But I want you to know something. You cannot calculate the details of society or life or what's going to happen by looking at the status quo. The status quo is full of bad news. You know that. But the thing about the bad news is that it's wrong. Because one is coming. And there's a principle from the beginning of time that the Lord bestows upon us humans. And it's called the principle of new beginnings. And there's so many more coming. There's new beginnings of the Holy Spirit. There's new beginnings for America. There's new beginnings for the church in America. There's new beginnings for your family. There's new beginnings for your life. There's new beginnings for this world and for the kingdom of our God. So today, I want you to take hold of the power of the Holy Spirit, the promises of God, because his promises will never fail. Amen. What he said he will do, he will do. And learn a lesson from wise Dorothy Freeman, who prays because the Lord told her to. She never met the brothers of Nancy. Nancy didn't ask her to pray for them, but the Lord told her. Don't think that the call of God on your life is insignificant because you're not making a lot of money from it. Don't think the call of God on your life is not important because not a lot of people see you in the limelight. There is a light that shines from heaven. He's our source. And when the time comes, do you remember what the Lord said about the Jewish people? He says, this will happen very quickly in the time that it is assigned to happen. So you walk with the Lord. Get your hands busy in serving him. Be a person of prayer and compassion. On the way to Israel, I had an experience in the plane, which the 16 people who came on the trip can attest to it. I was sitting there being a good, nice traveler. And a Jewish Hasidic Orthodox man, probably a rabbi, came up to me in all of his paraphernalia and said, are you Jewish? I didn't even say hi to him. He came up to me and says, "Are you Jewish?" I wasn't wearing my kippah, my yarmulke. And I said, "Yes, I am. My mother's Jewish. She was born here." And her name was Magdalene Katz. "Ah," he says, "Cohen, you're a priestly tribe of Levi." I said, "Yes." So he said, "Well, come and let's put the phylactery on you." And I said, "No." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because I have come to the new covenant." He said, "What is this?" I said, "Well, do you have your Bible there?" So he did. He had it on a phone. Some iPad gizmo. And I said, "Go to the book of Jeremiah, your prophet. Chapter 33 and verse 33. So he goes through, it's all in Hebrew. And I said, "Let me tell you what it says. You tell me if it's true. And I will bring a new covenant to the people of Israel. The people who failed me in Egypt." I'm paraphrasing now. He says, "And I will give them a new covenant. And I will put my law in their hearts. And they will not need that anybody teach them, for the Lord will teach them." Amen. I said, "That's the new covenant from your Bible. Have you found it?" So we talked for about an hour. And he said, "You're trying to change things." I said, no, I'm not trying to change anything. It's just right there in your Bible. You just didn't read the whole Bible." So then I showed him some other verses. I said, "You know, more changes are coming in the millennium." He said, "What changes?" I said, "Well, for one thing, you won't eat meat." He says, "But I like a good steak." I said, "Yes, but even kosher, you can't have it there." He said, "Where is that?" I said, "Come to Isaiah chapter 11. The wolf will eat grass, and the lion will lie with the lamb, and there shall be no hurt in all my holy mountain." He says, "You know the Bible more than me." I said, "Yes." So he said, "Why do you start a new thing?" I said, "Well, why did you start a new thing?" He said, "What?" I said, "Well, doesn't your Bible tell you that you have to have a sacrifice of an animal to be righteous before God? But you're not sacrificing anymore." "Well, we can't. The government won't let us." "So what new thing do you have then? Just good works?" "So you're changing things. It has to be by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know the blood of the Lamb?" I talked to him about a Jewish man named Jesus Messiah. Yeshua. HaMashiach. He didn't know what to do. He just kept going around in circles in his discussion. "Do you know His day is coming? His day is coming when a tender shoot will come forth. It will be a new beginning for him, because God is the God of new beginnings. And there is a principle that goes forth over his people. I call it the new beginnings principle. So don't be an old fossil. Be a new sprout, a sprout in the Holy Spirit, and watch what God will do. Because out of the new beginnings comes several things." If you read there in Isaiah chapter 11, you could put it up there. It says there in verse 1 that the tender shoot will come, and it will be from the root of Jesse. And then it says in the next verse, let's go to the next verse. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power." Say power. "The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So here is what a new shoot has to do to bring forth fruit. It has to embrace the fear of God, the wisdom that comes from above, the understanding of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, and the power of the Lord. And if you do these things, you will bear fruit. You will bear so much fruit. All the examples of fruitfulness that the Bible gives is not one pear on the pear tree. It's a tree laden with fruit. It's nets with so many fish that the nets start to break. Yeah. When I was a young man, one of my mentors came up to me and said something that I didn't like. He said, actually, I just didn't understand. He said, do you know, God is extravagant. When I was growing up, extravagant meant wasteful. It meant that there was so much that people weren't wise with it. They were extravagant in their spending. And my mom taught me how to shop, how to save money, and how to pinch the penny. So when I heard God was extravagant, I thought, that can't be. And then I realized, I'm the one who had to change because he is extravagant. Look at the world. Can you count the blades of grass just on your front lawn? He's extravagant. When you travel the nations and see the birds and see the fish and see the animals and see the people and see the amazing creation that he's made, if you see his love for you, his protection, the angels that he will send to watch over you, the purpose for your life, I want you to know God is extravagant. He's absolutely extravagant in what he does. And some of us have a spiritual poverty mentality. You think of small things. Don't despise the day of small things, because a tender little shoot is just tiny when it starts. But my dear friends, God wants to multiply and multiply and multiply. My mom was 5 days old and almost dead when a rabbi brought that little Jewish baby and gave her to the Christian missionary, Lydia, who became Lydia Prince. She's almost dead. Just a little bundle. 5 days old. Birth certificate there. And from that one mama has come so many preachers. From her, in our family, there are 5 boys who are preachers. And do you know how many people that these 5 boys have ministered to? And how many other ministers they have ordained? And how many nations of the world they've affected? Because of one tender little shoot named Magdalene Katz. So, I serve this God who is so extravagant. Doesn't mean I'm going to be wasteful or irresponsible. But it means I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for the expansion of his kingdom. And God is about new beginnings. And from those new beginnings, tender little shoots come. But those tender little shoots, some of them are your children, will bring forth such a harvest that the world has never seen. Now, will you come into agreement with me today for this word to be a reality in your life? I want you to think God is extravagant and I am his child. Even though you might right now be in a difficult time, you might feel more like a dead olive tree, 2,000 years old and with a rotting core. You may feel like that. But up from the root will come a tender shoot for the purposes of God in your life. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? I want to pray over you now. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit here to touch you. Wind of the Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome the awesome King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We welcome you in your power. Stand to your feet. We welcome you, Lord. Just hold your hands up to him now. We welcome your anointing for new beginnings. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is full of new beginnings. It's who you are. It's what you do. And we are your people, Lord. Today we present ourselves for the new beginnings of God in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, God of abundance, God of power. And let the wisdom come upon us, the wisdom that comes from above. Let the understanding and the knowledge of God fill us today. Let the counsels of heaven move in our veins. Let the power of God for anointing and purpose flow through each of us. We welcome you. Lord, let the fear of God sweep upon the church that we might walk in holiness before you. Now, Lord, I ask for children in these families who do not know you, who are unsaved, who are walking in a place of compromise. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we agree with heaven for their salvation. For sickness and disease, Lord, we agree for healing now in our bodies and in the members of our family. We say yes to the blessings of the Lord. For friends and those acquaintances around us who need you, Lord, we say yes to the work of salvation. Lord, we lift up Israel to you. We thank you for your promises over Israel. We thank you, Lord, for all that you said you would do for her. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. Let revival come to the streets of Jerusalem. We welcome you, Lord. Lord, we present ourselves to you now. Oh, Lord. Lord, wherever we're dry and wherever we're become a little old and things have become somewhat stale in our lives, Lord, break us open. Let the tender shoots come forth. Let the purposes and power of God for miracles, for the presence of the Lord, for the visitations of angels, for partnership with heaven, let it come. We welcome you, Lord. We give you praise and glory now. Now I speak the blessing of the Lord over you, over your life today. And over your children, over your grandchildren. And I pray new beginnings into your family. Now look with new eyes and pray the prayer of faith. And when God gives you somebody else to pray for them as well. Go get your inheritance and then help others get their inheritance. Go for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak it over you.